I'm doing a podcast, Dizzy. Welcome to the Too Cool for School podcast. My name is Yannick, and on today's episode, we are talking about the Black Uni experience. So I've got some special guests with me today, and I'll just ask them to introduce themselves. So just by sharing what you studied at uni and what you're currently doing.
Are we going with me starting first? Okay, cool. My name's Gabriel. I studied international business, and I'm currently in advertising technology sales. So, yeah.
Cool. My name's Yvonne, and I studied law. Currently, I'm part of the founding team of Black Seed, and we're a venture capital fund, and we invest in Black-owned tech businesses.
Cool. My name's Onos, and I studied economics up in University of Kent. At the moment, I'm a business manager for PCNs across Greenwich, and I own Honest & Young Consulting as well.
My name's Yemi. I studied law, like Yvonne, and I currently work in compliance in investment management, and I run events on the side.
Great stuff. That's great. And it's also important, you know, for us to share that we're all UKC.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I think what between
2012
to 2013.
Isn't that
when we
graduated?
Yeah.
So,
class
of. I was worried.
The
timing there.
But I think Yvonne might be 2014, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're crossing 3 years here.
So I think, you know, before we start off, I think it's always important to sort of share the context behind, you know, this episode and why, you know, we're doing this episode in particular. So 2 years ago, as part of my dissertation that I was doing, you know, I wanted to look at the sort of university experience of Black students, you know, in particular. And I was thinking about our cohort of friends and, you know, how successful we had, you know, sort of been not only in, you know, uni, but post-uni as well. And then I was reflecting on my studies and what, you know, we learn about, you know, this idea called the attainment gap. And for those who don't know, the attainment gap is, you know, essentially a theory that if you're from a Black African or Caribbean background, that you're less likely to do well in school, in further education, at uni, and that you've got, you know, sort of less favourable educational outcomes, career outcomes, employability outcomes, etc. But I looked at our group and I thought, actually, you know what, we're doing well for ourselves. Like, we've, you know, exceeded that. And I thought it was important to sort of have this discussion and share, you know, the sort of things that worked, you know, well for us. So I know, you know, before you guys came, there was like a statistic that I saw that I wanted, you know, to sort of share with you guys. And the statistic basically said that, you know, white students were less likely to enroll for uni, that Black African students were more likely to enroll but less likely to get either like a first or a 2-1, and that also Black students were more likely to like drop out, you know, of university. And on the flip side of that, white students out of any demographic had the highest employability rates. So I was just thinking about, you know, those sort of statistics and thinking like, how is that making, you know, any sense? And I wanted to sort of gain like your thoughts and what you guys think about that statistic before we sort of dive into the rest of the conversation.
I would say, you know, from working now, I work in investment management, and we do offer apprenticeships now. And so I feel like that's kind of different from when we started university back then. There were apprenticeships starting, but they seemed to be more hands-on skill-based jobs. Like, I didn't really see apprenticeships for, like, you know, investment management firms and financial services. So now I will say that maybe that trend is coming from, I'm seeing some students are taking that up where they're going straight to apprenticeships from college and they're going straight into the financial services sector and they're not having to go to university. So maybe there's a bit of a rise with that because there's more opportunities that firms are realising that, like, actually you get a lot of the valuable experience just from doing a job and working in-house and maybe less from the degree. And, you know, that's obviously debatable as well. But I kind of agree that some things that I would say a degree is great, but like I learned most of how to do my job on the job, not necessarily from my degree. So maybe that's where white people might be seeing those opportunities more to go directly to university. They might, to go directly to apprenticeships and into the world of work, or they might see that as more practical compared to, I think, black people typically from a traditional background always think education is the only way and the only route to get as far as possible in life. But I think a few more others are seeing as other routes to that. So maybe that's the reason for the stats.
I think I'll interject as well a little bit. I think from a lot of backgrounds we probably come from, our parents saw education as kind of the way through for us. And I think you can't knock people for not knowing.
Yeah.
And I think now a lot of us have obviously gained years of experience in work, and we understand that there's other routes to getting into kind of the industries in which we want to get in. And there's a lot more information. I was on TikTok the other day, and it's even a private account, but on TikTok you see a lot more younger people talking about their journeys in terms of career, whether they went through to uni or didn't go through to uni. And I think for us that wasn't an option. It was uni or not. It was uni or a failure. That's what it felt like. But then even talking about that, we have friends, and one of the few people that I know who dropped out does significantly well because he saw a different path. And he saw a different path because he had a mentor. I found a mentor inadvertently by accident when he dropped out. Whereas most of us would have probably looked, he dropped out, it's almost like failure. But it wasn't the end. He's actually doing extremely well. So yeah, it's once you know, you know.
And the stat was that black grad people in the university, sorry, are more likely to drop out.
Yeah, so that they're most likely to drop out, less likely to get like a first or 2-1 degree. And even with the dropout, it's interesting because from both Gab's and Yem's point of view, we don't really get the context.
They could
be dropping out and saying, actually, we've got a better opportunity.
So
that's interesting.
That's why I asked for the stat again, because actually, leaning off of your point, Gab's, I'm supposing that it might be the added pressure that makes people feel as though they have to overachieve. And then in turn, they get overwhelmed, unable to focus, and then they feel as though they don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. I remember, I won't forget this actual experience of walking across the campus in Kent, and I saw somebody walking across Darwin. This is late night, head down, crying. Crying, like a black person, crying. Obviously, naturally, you're compassionate, so you go and think, oh, no, well, go on, what's going on? I've not been able to revise for my exam. I don't know what to do. And I felt like, how does somebody get to that point without any means of support, whether it's in uni or outside of uni, you know? And I think what I found from some of, you know, our white counterparts in uni was that they had a very flexible environment outside of university, whereas, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. Oh, it's fine. But maybe there was a bit more pressure for black people in uni to say, actually, it's not really, you can't really worry about it. You've got to make it through.
I see some young lot that I know, like in my youths in church and stuff, where maybe they're not doing that well in university, but they've done like one year. Basically, they've repeated the year like 3 times. And I'm like, at that point, and also this person has a side hustle, which is actually what they're passionate about, which is not what they're doing their degree. And it's like, okay, at what point, I'm like, hang on, you know you're going to pay for this back, right? And you know you're spending money. At what point do you say, like, maybe this isn't working and it's not for me, and just pursue, you know, the other things you're good at? But I think, you know, in our culture and that mentality, it's that you have no other option if you're not finishing your degree. Even if your parents know that you might not pursue it, they still want you to achieve it and finish it. And like you said, it's almost like seeing that dropout is a failure. But just to add to the point that, like, it's that extra pressure, whereas I think, like, other white counterparts might know there's other options. Even if they don't necessarily finish, I don't think the pressure is as much on them. So I don't know if, like, some are dropping out because of the extra pressure, but also because, yeah, they just have to keep going. And I don't know if that's also why they're struggling with to get the actual grades, because maybe they're even doing degrees that aren't even what they really want to do. And a lot of people go to uni and they're just trying to make it through, but they don't actually have an interest in that subject. Or they know from first year, I don't want to do this, but I've got to finish because my parents said so. Are you going to tell me those people are going to come out with first and 2-1s? I doubt it, right? So that could be another factor.
I think to your last point about the employability, both education and employment, they're nuanced. So where the focus for us might be on getting the grades and doing the work, there's so much more to the university experience beyond just the grades. Mm. And I think in ignoring that, we suffer.
Yeah.
And our demographic, where we might not have the nepotism and the connections that could get us into like the JP Morgans and stuff, we need to work extra hard with the networking, actually. Yeah, that's a 100%. Huge part. And when we're not doing that, we kind of put ourselves at a disadvantage when it does come to getting jobs, because our white counterparts, by and large, not all, because not everyone's a monolith, but might have the connections that could help them get those roles. We need those connections too.
Yeah. And those particular soft skills aren't taught, which they should be.
And, you know, you mentioned that quote, like, as black people, like, we need to work harder than our white counterparts. Like when was that instilled in you guys? Like, when was that instilled in your mindset? And did you ever feel like that at uni? Like, during uni, did you ever feel like, damn, I'm having to work, you know, 10 times harder than, like, my white peers?
It's crazy because I'm going to speak because I think maybe people share slightly different. I didn't feel that. I didn't necessarily feel that I had to work harder than my counterparts. I think you have to work slightly different. So Yvonne mentioned networking. So relationship building, that's the bread and butter of what I believe. If people ask me what I gained from university, I would always say my group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be the degree. It would be my group of friends. And obviously we're still all achieving and going for the stuff that we're going for. I think it's not going harder. It's about learning different skills and being able to use those skills, being able to be in rooms and navigate, because the reality is you can get a first and, like Yvonne said, and like we all know, that doesn't necessarily get you a job. I think we didn't necessarily have to work harder. I think we should have probably spent more time learning new skills and learning the skills, the soft skills, like you mentioned, that would help us or put us in rooms that would allow us to get jobs. Because I was talking, my wife's brother, so my brother-in-law, he's just finished university. And in his university, he went to, I believe it's Westminster. He went Westminster.
Westminster. We're not going
to
edit that
out. She always corrects me, to be fair. But he went Westminster and they have like entrepreneurial programs. They're giving them money.
Right.
They're actually giving them money to like start businesses, start projects, do stuff, and taking them to these network seminars and stuff like that. And I'm sure those things existed when we were in uni, but we had to go and find them.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, come to the student help desk and they'll just show you that they're going to give... Like, one of the girls in his uni has taken about 12 grand from them. Give me 12 grand today, I can still do something with 12 grand today. You know what I mean? So it still has some sort of value, but we didn't have that then. You have to go above and beyond to get to that point. And we've all got friends who went above and beyond and got those internships and stuff, but that was like fighting for that.
Yeah.
You still have to fight now, but it's just a lot more information.
Yeah.
I think the work was to assimilate, and where rest for them looks like going to the pub and having a drink and listening to Arctic Monkeys or whatever it was that they used to bond over, it took work for me to fit into those groups.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't understand that landscape or go to the same places that they go on holiday to, you already look like the odd one out, but then trying to find that connection, that's where the work, I feel, was. I mean, even for us, like when we first joined, to go to a rave or party where they played our music. Do you remember how?
Yeah, I know.
It was actually a
we had our own underground scene because there wasn't a lot for us.
And it was never on campus.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was that piece.
Yeah, I agree. I think like going to university, I just thought you study law and then you get a training contract, become a lawyer. I didn't even know all the different types of law. I didn't really know that, okay, it took me finding those extra programs outside. And fortunately, there were, at that time, there was like Target Chances. I don't know if you remember that one. And there was, I think, SEO London, which was for like ethnic minorities. There were big ones doing stuff on the side for like people that wanted to get into financial services. But without those extended groups where the information was there, I don't really feel like university equipped us with the real job market and the real resources we needed. So we went and found it because it was resourceful. But I agree, I feel like my white counterparts, I didn't ever really bond with them, really. So unless I was put together with them for a presentation, didn't really find out about their lives. And I guess was fortunate in a way that there was enough black people in Kent where you didn't feel like the odd one out. In my degree itself, there was obviously less black people. But yeah, I think it was kind of hard to know like where they're coming from, their backgrounds, and the ones that have the connections and have internships lined up in summer. That's something I definitely felt like with my parents. I always remember saying when I needed, you know, work experience growing up and stuff, I'm like, why do you not have any friends that work in law or financial services or banking? I'm like, why are all your friends like in back medical, home, right?
NHS.
Like, back yeah, exactly. Story, everyone's in NHS. And even the one lawyer friend, can't lie, you know, it's high street law. It's not, no offense, but it's yeah, like, it's not corporate financial services. Yeah. Like, I didn't know any of the older generation that were in that. So the connections that I felt like some other white people may have had and stuff, like we just didn't naturally have that. So to add to your point on where we worked harder would be like trying to bust myself to get an internship and to get into these experiences, because I couldn't get it from anywhere else in my own network and anywhere else. I had to get those opportunities. Whereas I think other people had an uncle or, you know, a friend's friend that worked in a law firm and stuff like that.
That's such a virtue though.
Yeah.
Because we learn how to create our own luck. And when you don't have like the chips stacked in your favour, you get more, like you said, become more resourceful.
Yeah, sure.
So when you're not used to being let in through the front door, you get really scrappy and it's like, okay, is this one open? Is that one open?
Yeah,
and it's very entrepreneurial. So we kind of do leave with that hustle.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when I'm thinking about this idea of networking, like, so I didn't share at the start. So I studied law and criminology. And throughout like my 3 years, I didn't have any, I think maybe not until my second year of uni, during the summer, I did a placement with, it was a placement through someone at my mum's church, who was white and was well connected. And he got me a placement with Matrix Chambers. And it's the legal firm that, and I remember Googling it in that summer, and like Tony Blair's wife worked there, and I was like, yo, this is some proper stuff. And I remember I was on placement with, and I can say this now, because Jonathan Glasson QC, he most probably doesn't remember me, but he was, you know, a big deal. And we went to Southend Crown Court for 4 weeks. For 4 weeks, there was a case. It was like the Ministry of Defence versus whoever else. And it was so interesting, and I was like, you know what, this is amazing. But then I was always remembering that I was waking up at like 6 a.m. to be at Southend Crown Court for like 7:30 a.m. I had to be there on the dot. And he was travelling from God knows where. And I remember asking him, I said to him, like, oh, what time do you leave home and what time do you get home? Like, how does it balance with like family? And he said to me that rarely sees, you know, the kids in the morning because they have to get ready to, you know, he has to get ready to come to court. And by the time he goes home, because we used to finish at like 6 p.m. some days. And by the time he goes home, you know, the missus putting the family, putting the kids to bed. This case, I was only on the case for 4 weeks because it was summer holidays, but it continued for at least 2-3 months because I kept an eye on it. And I thought to myself, I can't do that. That put me off, like, chasing what I thought, because I was able to get that experience.
Yeah.
And when we think about this idea of networking, like, if we're using this space to have these, you know, real-life conversations, like, what advice can we give to, you know, the students that are in uni now, whether it's first year, second year, third year? We're talking about those soft skills, but practically what are the things that, you know, and I'm sure uni has changed, you know, in the 10, 12 years we've been there, but what are some of the things that they could be doing now in terms of like building on like their networking skills and putting themselves in those sort of spaces where they are seen, they are, you know, brushing shoulders with, you know, the influencers and the people who can get them through those doors without having to hustle. I don't want to be scraping to get into the door, but I just want, you know, to be let in as my white counterpart. So
it's not going to happen.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sad truth, isn't it?
Whether it's like cold emailing, and I feel like it's always with the first one. You can send out it's like the law of averages. You send out 100 emails, 10 people maybe will get back to you. Mm. But you've got to be like willing to keep putting out those cold emails. And once you do meet someone, ask them for an introduction and just keep that ball like rolling. But I also think there's value in authenticity. I think sometimes people over-formalize their correspondence with people and you kind of lose yourself in that sort of transaction.
Mm.
Whereas how many other people are they dealing with in a formal capacity? You will be so easily forgotten. So for instance, in the industry that I'm in, we often have to do a lot of networking and schmoozing and stuff. We try our best to not do meetings during working hours because people are in their working mode and they're going to relate to us as if we are a client or somebody that they're working with. That's we will go and meet them for drinks at 7 p.m. or no, come and smoke shisha with us, or just things that don't feel conventional. Or have you tried jollof rice? Come and try it here. Where people like form first memories of things like, oh, I tried jollof rice with Yannick, and then they think of that and then they remember you. It's about kind of like breaching those rules of what is appropriate almost and then building those connections with people so you can be memorable and not just a contact.
Being memorable, authenticity.
Yeah, I think nowadays it's a very, very different landscape from when we were in university. There's a lot more information out there. And so I think a lot of the advice I'll probably give younger people at university, because I learn a lot from people who have just finished uni, I'm going to be honest. Like I said, I'm like my brother-in-law, he'd be teaching me everything, all the events he goes to. Research, what events are out there? What industry do you want to be in? What conferences are? Go to the conferences. 9 times out of 10, people like to talk about themselves. I work in sales. People love to talk about themselves. If you can get people talking about themselves, they will tell you pretty much their entire life. And if you're actually genuinely interested, even better. But go to conferences, research conferences, Google. Okay, is it tech you want to get into? Can't lie to you. If it's tech you wanted to get into, I'm inundated with how to get into tech, how to get your first interview. There are so much resources out there. Utilize them. And a lot of them are in the places where we actually enjoy consuming content. Mm. So utilize the fact that maybe instead of watching that podcast about XYZ, maybe check out a podcast on this. But yeah, go to stuff. Human interaction, it's not a lost art. The pandemic didn't get rid of the need for people to want to be connected to other people. So if you can get in front of people, present yourself again, like Yvonne said, in an authentic way, it's harder for people to forget an actual person. You can forget emails. I sent a number of emails out. I've even forgot I've sent the email. Mm-hmm. So the person's probably forgotten. But when you meet people and you connect with people and you have genuine connections, and it doesn't matter. Like we're talking, like I said, obviously, I know we've been speaking about kind of our white counterparts. No one's a monolith. Not every white person's had a leg up. But the reality is you can find a route of connection with any human because we're all human.
Yeah.
Whether you're white, black, Asian, whatever it is, there is going to be a point of connection. You live in London, there's going to be something that, even if you don't live in London, there's going to be something. We experience similar things. We might react differently, but you can find a point of connection. I think if you can do that and build relationships throughout uni, I think your time will be slightly easier. Still hard, still got to work hard, but slightly easier.
Funny enough, so kind of gleaning off of the last thing we were speaking about, in terms of having that feeling of needing to work harder than your white counterparts in uni, I didn't really have that feeling because I was, I think it's majority because I was the youngest and I didn't feel like I had to create a path or create a way. So I was just going with
the youngest,
going
in with terms of
youngest in terms of family. So I've got two older sisters. And my sister very much paved the way in the University of Manchester. So I just thought I'm just going to go to university and just try my best and just see what happens. But as you said, rightfully, Gabs, I learned so much more in uni than a degree.
Yeah.
And then to kind of bring it to this question here, I think what I would probably recommend for black people in university to do as far as networking is concerned is figure out how to have conversations with people, because a lot of people want to be in the rooms and don't have anything to say. And there's so much information. There's so many podcasts. There's so many different audio books and things that you can listen to and read. You don't necessarily need to take the time to work on learning something that people have already taken the time to learn and summarize it for you in about 20 minutes or 15 minutes. digest the content, digest the information. So when you get into those rooms, you have some talking points. And it doesn't have to be academic either. Mm. As Yvonne was saying, it can be very much things that are socially related. So now my, funny enough, I don't know if this is going to be cut out or not, but my topic of conversation now is everything around hip hop, everything around, you know, that culture because of the different things that are coming up. Things that aren't to not be named on. I do time to time. But I say that to say, you know, it's about having that sense of relatability as well. I'm trying to connect, even myself now, trying to connect with somebody who holds various different chair seats, across different trustee boards and such in the healthcare sector. And I started to change my signature instead of using yours sincerely, with him particularly, instead of using yours sincerely, kind regards, I just put KR. Mm-hmm. I did that because he started using KR. So I thought, I'm not going to come across like I'm trying to meet him formally. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to dilute mine and make mine KR as well. So that sense of just naturally, being on the same page, natural, you know, I feel like that's what really works when you're trying to get certain connections. And then as well, so my last point would be to probably own in on maybe a few individuals that you know you have some sense of connection with, and get yourself a mentor, or get yourself somebody who can just signpost you to the next person, because it is quite taxing to be in those rooms or to try and get that type of access week in, week out. It can be very draining, as well as trying to get a degree. No. Just find somebody or a few individuals that you know you can really build that relationship with, and then allow them to put you in the spaces that you need as well.
Yeah. I never really like networked per se, but I think in hindsight, if I look back, I'm thinking what opportunities could I have used? And what I will say is just like taking advantage of the resources at university, because back then, and maybe it's another one of your points, Yannick, later on, but back then I was a student ambassador because it was about working, I think. So I was a student ambassador at university, and I also like volunteered in a law clinic. So like there was things, those put me in spaces with other people that are not necessarily on my degree, or I wouldn't necessarily come like across in our line of what we're doing. So being a student ambassador, you know, you go to other schools and you help them out in different ways. So I think those would have been good opportunities if I look back to like form those deeper connections with the other individuals that were in the law clinic and student ambassadors and lecturers and stuff like that. So I think like looking university, the resources that are there to do all of the extracurricular stuff, whether it's paid or non-paid, and find networks, and those are easier to build those genuine connections because you're going to meet with those people on a weekly, monthly basis. So I think if I could go back, I would say I would build more like broader connections.
Yeah. Mm. Sharpen your people skills.
I
think everyone can do doing that. Just like I love people. Sounds as cliche. I love connecting with people. But even me, I'll write down how can I sharpen. I was even reading this Harvard article the other day about sharpening your relationship building skills and how to kind of translate that in business. Sharpen those skills. Just be human, like try and be as human as possible, because I think we talk about kind of our white counterparts and so on and so forth. I think one of the things we have to kind of give ourselves credit in that a lot of us are first generation. Mm. So I don't expect our parents to necessarily be connected. If I went to Nigeria, my dad, when he was around, would have connected me with everyone under the sun. Whatever work I'd be doing, we may not discuss it now, but he would have connected me with everyone I needed to be connected in. So we give ourselves credit of what we've achieved so far. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's always nepotism that gets people in certain environments. It's just that you've seen your parents did a job before you. You watched your parents do the job. Mm. Some of our kids, or when we have kids, won't do what we do, but they will see what we do and go, okay, I don't love what dad does. I don't love what mum does, but mum and dad's friend does this. So then you can you may not necessarily help them get a job, but they can see what they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Quite early, whereas we didn't necessarily get that. And I think one of the bits of advice I would give young people is to try different things. Don't think you've made that this is your life. You've studied law, you have to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. As we're like people, we thought this when we were young. A lot of us thought this is the decision we're making, this is what we're gonna be, especially those who study very specific things. And it's, you can change. In America they change majors all the time. In their first year they'll study one thing, second year they've changed. We don't quite have that flexibility, but I wish we did. But we don't have that flexibility. So I say try things.
the people, that's important. And it could be something so small as making conversation with the barista. Like, how many times do we just ask, oh, how much is this? No, sure. Oh, how was your day? Or what's your name? Just small talk and just learn how to do that.
When you go to someone, how are you?
Literally. And I think also where, like, I don't know, obviously I'm Ugandan and how African children are raised, it's usually only speak unless you're spoken to.
Not so then, me, but yeah. Nigerians are a bit more speak when you're not spoken.
That's very good. It's very good. And it shows in
terms, I think when we're younger, from like children and adult perspective, but...
That dynamic. Yeah, so it's like when you're in a room with an adult.
Yeah.
And especially if you're reaching out to somebody and you want to pick their brain, you can't just go into the meeting room and then just sit there. They want to hear from you. They're busy. So if you get more comfortable speaking to people that are different ages from you and like just navigating, I feel like that helps.
Even forgetting you're adults.
Yeah, I know.
Going into a room forgetting you're an adult as well.
Yeah.
But also, in terms of even that kind of African culture as well, it's about understanding the culture that you're growing into. So I know that I took a trip to Nigeria just a few weeks back. I knew that if I was going into a room of adults, I had to say yes ma, yes sir. Similarly, if I'm going into a room with, you know, white CEOs or senior management, I have to address them in a certain way, like how we shake hands, and it's just about understanding the room you're going in as well, which again takes taking in all that information and being friendly. You know, we talk about nepotism, but it's also vicarious as well, in a sense where somebody could bring you on board as a friend, all that group, because I didn't do much group work, but I think some of you lot did a lot of group work. Just build friends that way, and you never know, that person has a father, has a mother, has an uncle that might say actually.
And can I just make like a shout out to my experience in uni? I agree with Gabs. Like, what did I get from uni? My closest friends now. But the second thing, or up there, top two, is actually, you guys remember when I threw the roller skating event at university? I studied law beforehand. I'd never thrown an event, a party. I always just threw my birthdays, but I never had interest in that.
And roller skating event. There's videos of me falling down.
But it's so random for me to do that. Like,
that was you.
Yeah. Oh, really?
There you go.
And that was my first ever thing. And you know, I just used like ACS, and they helped me like pattern the venues, and I just found a company that would come and bring the skates. But because of what Yvonne's saying, we didn't have that many things on campus on our own. Our own spaces, you had to create your own spaces if you wanted to do stuff. You know, Gabs was in a talent show and we made our own things that we did. So when I did the roller skating event, you know, use my resources, put that all together, I was like, wow, I could do events and stuff. But that idea was just like pushed to the side because I'm doing law. I'm thinking that's where I'm going to. And I still followed not law itself, but that type of career path. But then fast forward now, 6 years ago, you know, I started running events and roller skating events, and everyone thinks that was the birth of it, but the birth was actually in university. And you don't know the kind of seeds and stuff you're already starting by what Gabs was saying about like to try different things. So I basically, do you know what I mean, was doing two things at the same time without realizing it, and that's what my future is now. And I started at university and I made that opportunity for myself, and if I knew what I knew now, I could have been doing that way longer, taking it seriously and making bank.
And Gabs made a good point earlier as well when he was talking about, you know, that we're first generation and the opportunities that we're going to be able to leave, you know, our children as they grow up is, you know, for me, I just feel like it's going to be amazing. Like, I can't wait for my son to grow up and say, you know, Dad, I need to find work experience. Where? Just tell me where, because I've got this friend that does this over there. This friend, like, I'm sorting you out. You know, I even when I was head of year before, there were some parents that, your parents were struggling to get work experience. I'm sure I even contacted you guys, you know, about work experience. Like, there were certain, like, I was in WhatsApp groups, messaging, iMessage, just getting in touch with like all my friends to say, listen, I've got some students, like, they're really struggling to find like work experience and whatever else, and like these parents were really struggling, and that work experience journey, like, for a lot of them, it's an amazing experience. It's an eye opener, even in, you know, even at year 10, but I think, you know, it's definitely amazing, the opportunities that we're going to be able to leave them. I know, you know, we've been speaking about some of the positives and, you know, some of the things that have helped us, you know, at uni. And, you know, one of the key things that stood out when we did the focus group during my dissertation was the impact that working part-time had on, you know, our sort of academic, you know, performance, in the fact that we had to work. Like, those loans, those bursaries, they weren't doing, you know, enough for us, considering our backgrounds as well, you know, in terms of getting, you know, that family support. I know for my mum was literally, listen, we got you to uni. I drove you there. I've got you your pots and pans. I beg, you know, the rest is just, you know, the rest is just you. What sort of, did everyone here work during uni? And if so, what sort of impact did that have on your sort of academic performance, if anything?
So I worked during uni, but I'm going to be completely honest. So I worked because I wanted to work. And I think if I didn't work, I don't know. So I got a 2-1, but I don't think I was never going for a first. It's very strange. I actually was never going for a first. I was just, let me, like similar to Honest, what Honest said, I wasn't the first. So it was like, it wasn't that pressure. And I think after, in my first year of college, I failed one of my A-levels. That once I felt that feeling of feeling low, I was all right. I was like, this feeling's not that bad. No, it was when I got home, because I thought I was going to get in trouble. Sorry, I thought I was going to get in trouble. But when I got home, I was like, this isn't that bad. Just try your hardest. Mm-hmm. Push. But I worked. But I think if I didn't work, it would have been worse. Because I think if I didn't work, I would have just drank with everyone and I would have partied a lot more. I would have work on a Monday. People were going places on a Sunday. They had like, I think we're in uni, we had these events on Monday, whatever it is. There was one by Cuba. One, Canterbury East or something, one of them stations there. And but because I had work, chemistry, I was like, I'm not going. And don't get me wrong, the money made, it did provide a certain level of freedom because I couldn't go to my dad, to be honest with you. But I just managed to maneuver my loan in a certain way. Because you know, you've got the student loan and then you got the overdraft that you thought was your money, and then you realise it wasn't your money. Then you realise it wasn't free money, and then when they want it back, I had a NatWest, but I didn't use the account. So then they sent me a letter and saying, "Oh, we're gonna close the account. You have to pay back all the money." I got a job, so I did. Like, don't get me wrong, I was paying things back, but these were all like my own personal bad decisions. Yeah. It wasn't like I was struggling, so I wouldn't say it distracted me. It was part time, and it was in Kent. So I don't know what that experience is for people who maybe had to, in terms of survival, because I knew I could always go back to London and collect rice and bring it back with me, albeit it has to transition, but I'll put it in the freezer and I'll be fine. So yeah, there's rice at home was a real thing.
Yeah, mine was the same. Like, I fortunately didn't have to work and stuff like that. Like, my parents were well off enough that it's like, yeah, I was fine in terms of they looked out for me in university. But I know that's not everyone's experience, obviously. But, like, mine was fine. So I never had to work. But like I said, I always worked as a student ambassador. And that's on campus and it's in your own time. There's,
you got paid to do that.
Yeah, it's a paid job because, a lot of people didn't get porn. But you know what? I think I knew about it because I also did that at college as well, because my older sister did that. So sometimes when you have someone that's gone ahead of you, they kind of know the things that's out there. In college, that was an opportunity. Even Honey did it as well. I remember we were both student ambassadors and that was like a paid gig. You just go whenever you've got free lectures and you go help out schools and they pay you. And they paid you quite well.
Did they pay you when you helped or they just paid you like you were on a retainer?
No, you're not on a retainer. Okay. It's only for... it's only for like whatever hours you work, but it was super flexible, so it wasn't like a big income, but it's whenever as much as you can and can't. And then I only just worked in the holidays, so whenever I was back in London in summer and stuff, I would always get my retail job back, and because I was good, like, I just got to always keep that job, so the money was just for extra money, so it didn't really impact me because I didn't work too much. I definitely prioritised studying and partying and not working necessarily. That was my balance. I worked when I could during like day hours. I never really did anything extra except for the holidays. So that's for me.
So I can imagine obviously that having a financial burden weighs on you when you're trying to obviously get your degree, right? So I didn't work, but I didn't even know that working was a thing, if I'm really, and that's the honest truth. No, so my mum didn't say to me, "Oh, you know, you can." She didn't say you need to work. Yeah. Neither did she say, "You know, you can work." It just was not a thing. So I went to uni thinking that all I had to focus on was getting a degree, And it just bears down to that information point as well. I think if I knew...
But did majority of your friends work? Because I feel like majority of my friends didn't work.
So,
like maybe one, like TK was working, yeah. But not many, like during, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Honestly, I can't recall a handful of people around me who were working. But then again, they probably could have been doing it without me, without unbeknownst to me. But even still, with the people that I could remember did work, it wasn't an appetite for me because it wasn't something that I was, I didn't have the idea that you could do education and work at the same time.
Yeah.
It was just education, just step by step. You do education, one level, two level, three level, then you work, one level, two level, three level. And then at that point, you know, you are what you are. So for me, I think it would have been very helpful to work because my mom wasn't rich. Mm-hmm. My dad at the time wasn't rich. And so, yes, of course, there was the jollof rice trips as well, that coming down, putting that in the freezer and whatnot. Bless mum for that. But outside of that, there wasn't really much money that I was getting, which kind of, I think, the more important point around work and education and marrying the two is just being able to manage your finances in a certain way that it gives you the breathing space in uni to be able to network, to be able to have that. Because, again, I don't think I didn't have the skills I had now or the knowledge I had now around money management to be able to not put myself in some silly debt and then have that weighing over you when you're trying to, you know, get the degree that you want. So yeah, I wish I could have worked, but I just didn't know about it.
Mine was either the stress of not having money or the stress of not having time because I was working. So I definitely worked. My final year, I had a job, and most of us did actually, in London. So I would travel down
every weekend and stuff.
Forth. Yeah.
Where are you, Yanni? I don't remember this.
Vans. Westfield, when it just opened.
Oh, Vans. I was working for, Metro Bank.
That's a lot.
I worked M&S in town.
Oh, did
you?
You had the local jobs as well.
At Christmas, I stayed at uni.
I feel like I remember.
Did at Christmas, I stayed at uni. So
M&S, you didn't even come visit us. Yeah. Funny thing,
I worked in the Bureau de Change in M&S. So at Christmas, I remember, and that's when I noticed certain people had jobs in town because we all chilled together at one point. And there was a point where, I remember, so like this, you guys were at uni by this point, and we just all chilled because in the house, and then I went up, I would go home on like Christmas Eve after my shift, and I'd get a coach. Obviously, because you can't be getting the train. If you get the train, you have to bump the train. You shouldn't do that. but I'll get the coach down, and then you make it home. So if you're not lucky and you miss that coach, you'll be spending your Christmas.
Yeah, you know, that's not your express.
You
missed that.
So yeah, I think there's a benefit to working in uni, provided you did well or got what you wanted to get. I think it teaches a certain level of, I guess, resilience, scheduling, timing. You forgo certain things to work. And I think a lot of people learn that a lot later.
Yeah.
Like, you have to forgo certain things in order to maybe stay at work a bit longer. And I think you get to learn that a bit earlier. I thank God for not having to be in a position where it was like, to be honest with you, if I got in debt in uni, I'd have just been like, come and get me. Like, that's how, back then, innit? Obviously, now you realise how important these things are. I'd have been like, come and get me. If I can't pay my bills, come and get me.
I'm not really for working, I can't lie. Like, if you can afford not work, because I get you the stuff you teaches you, but you got your whole life to start being taught that. Like, because as soon as you touch 21 and then we start working, I realise, wow, you know, I'll give anything just to go back to uni and not have to work and wake up every day at 9 a.m. Now we're in COVID era, hybrid.
Yeah,
I can't believe I was doing 9 to 5 every single day.
Like that impacted you, like academically, like having to work?
You just had to be a lot more resourceful with your time, so you knew that you didn't have the night before to submit the thing. But if I didn't have to, I probably would have preferred not to.
Do you feel like you overworked like a lot of hours? Because I think that's the balance. A lot of people had a part time job, but they're not working like crazy hours. A lot of people are just doing the 8 hours on a weekend. Or did you feel like, did you feel like you needed to work quite a bit and take those extra shifts and stuff?
I did a 12-hour shift.
Really?
I quit, and I didn't know you had to hand in a resignation to quit. I just didn't come back.
Yeah. I don't think education and
working,
like, full-time education and working should marry. Like, I did it in a sense of like not people wanting to rely on, you know, my mum I wanted that sense of independence.
Yeah.
Like I want to buy my own groceries.
Mm. Yeah.
I want to buy what I want. Mm. Like name brand. Mm. Like I want to do my own thing. I want to go Nando's. If I want to go Nando's 3 times in a week, I want to be able to go Nando's 3 times in
a week. And that whole thing of like not putting the heating on, that just wasn't my ministry. I'm going to put the heating on.
Can't relate. Yeah. But do you think as men, maybe, sorry, not to divert it, but was there an extra pressure? Because I don't know, I know what it's like now, but I'm trying to think, at uni, you know, we went to the clubs. Yeah, no, just to have a bit more money than everyone else, because some of the guys drove, like we went to the clubs, like you lot are spending, you weren't buying tables, but you're spending a bit more. So did you feel that extra pressure to have a bit more on top of the maintenance?
I thank God when we went to university.
It wasn't that bad. Anyway, it was cheap as well.
Thank the almighty God when we went to university, because if we went to university now...
Yeah, innit?
And the funny thing is, I say that as someone that bought a car from a showroom.
Yeah. I remember that as well. And I whipped it past mine.
I was a big boy in university. And that's after my first car being a Nissan Micra and the exhaust pipe fell off. But even then, I was still cool.
We were prepared to.
Do you know what I mean? When you talk about working, I thank God then. But when you talk about working, I think the kind of work we were doing and university, I don't think marries. I think if we didn't necessarily have to work, we may have looked for, like you said, those internships or those summer placements that actually put us in positions of things we really want to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's having time for them.
Not only just looking, but once you find it,
having time.
If it's on a weekend or what,
you're at your retail job, exactly, or being able to do those things. Obviously, I think they're trying to change it now, where they're trying to pay people for placements. But being able to do those things and not worry about doing it for free, like so. Getting your bus fare to go there and knowing you can have lunch and whether they're paying for your lunch or not. I think if you didn't have to work or didn't think about money in that way, you would have freed yourself up more to be more creative. Because like you said, Saturday, I go to church and I would have to tell them I can't really do a Sunday, but then I'm still doing a Sunday because...
That being said, I worked in retail banking and I guess post-grad, I wanted to get into compliance.
Which was good.
And so... because I was there, I had the experience.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, second year uni, when me and, like, Lillian and stuff, we had internships at, like, you know, the big banks in the city and stuff. And, like, they paid good, like, back then. And so that was my first taste of, like, wow. Like, because, like you said, most people's part-time, you're lucky yours was retail banking, but most was retail. So it's not a glamorous job. Like, who wants to be waking up and standing on your legs for 4 hours? Mm. So you really just feel like, oh, like, it's a sort of a different type of work, right, to compare to what we want to get into. Mm. But having that experience of the internship, which was in the city jobs, getting paid like good amounts of money, I'm like, yeah, this is the life. Like, so the idea of retail never, you know, it didn't move me, it didn't inspire me. It was like, if we had more time, I need to get more internships, I need to get this stuff, because I tasted that you're getting paid well. Like, they don't just give you lunch and expenses, right? They're actually treating you like the real. That's that, and that was more valuable because the retail work, yeah, it gives you the general experience of just like working and serving, but it doesn't really align with what you're actually trying to get into. So I think if you need to get a job, try and get it, like you said, like retail bank, something as close as possible to where you want to be. So if you're on the medical side, try and get some kind of reception clerk job in some sort of medical place.
Gives like you human skills, though.
It does give you those, for sure.
If we just go for it. Like, if we go back to like the uni and the systems at uni. And one of the things that, you know, I'm really conscious of, you know, this being a sort of, you know, Black History Month special in terms of what we're doing here. And I want us to focus on representation a bit. When you guys were at uni, in terms of like your lecturers, your seminar leaders, like, did you guys have Black lecturers and seminar leaders? And if not, do you feel that impacted your sort of engagement at uni? Because I'm sort of trying to reflect on myself, and I know the type of person that I am. If I was struggling with something, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't have gone and spoken to like my seminar leader or lecturer, but I'm just saying that if my seminar leader or lecturer was Black, I just would have felt more comfortable saying, actually, do you know what? So-and-so, like, I'm struggling with this issue. Because representation matters, you know, when you see someone who looks like you. So that idea of, like, representation, like, how did that impact you guys at uni?
I think, so, I was in the business school, and maybe it's ignorant because now when you look at universities like Harvard and that, they have like CEOs come and talk and things like that. But when I was younger, I was looking at these teachers and I used to think this thing, those who can't teach. So because I thought those who can't teach, I did have like a black lecturer, I believe it was in the law side of our business studies. But yeah, I didn't care about what colour they were, because in my mind I was like, I'm just trying to get some of the fundamental information, but you guys aren't who I want to be. And in fact, I think you're here because you didn't do that. And again, it's ignorant, because at the time I was young, I didn't know any. Because now when you look at, but then again, in my course, I didn't have a lot of guest lecturers. So actually their credentials were all just academic. So for me, these were just theorists. Everything they did is just theory. Everything you're doing is theory. None of this is practice. There are people who are uneducated, quote unquote, in terms of the academic world, who are doing more business than you. So I don't think it discouraged me. I think in college and secondary school, I think I thought about that more than when I got to uni. Because in uni, I was like, this is business. You're actually just a theory person. I want to go and do. And so, yeah, it didn't personally discourage me. But I did have one black lecturer.
I don't think I had any black lecturers. And I only say I don't think because no one comes to mind.
Yeah, same. I don't remember any.
But when it comes to secondary school, I've got three key black teachers that I can't say necessarily changed who I was, but they were significant to who I thought I could come and speak to. And then I've got one particular Asian teacher in college, again, who I remember because he gave me a really hard time, but I still felt like this hard time would make me a better person, simply because it was coming from them. When I think about university, I can't literally think of one name, one person who I felt like I could actually go to. And perhaps that's because, again, my approach to university wasn't, to be very frank, to excel to a certain point. It was just to go through the motions of the 3 years and make it out. Maybe perhaps if I was more of more dog-headed about trying to be exactly intentional about trying to achieve to a certain point, then I would have found those people. But they weren't coming my way. And I studied economics, there was a lot of black people around me, just not at that level.
My EU lawyer was EU law lecturer was a black Caribbean lady, and she was really good. And it's small things like the way they conceptualize certain bits that make it more relatable, so it sticks. Whereas like other lecturers might try and break things down using an example that I also don't relate to, and I'm gonna have to do research to understand the example that you've given me. That's supposed to make it easier for me to understand. And I did really good in her class. But other than that, and again, I don't know if I cared so much about the race of my lecturers, but I do remember enjoying her lectures and doing
one of the things that I want us to consider, like if there's any advice that you would sort of give to, you know, young black students who are thinking about going to university or are in university now, like what would that advice be?
I would say to those individuals, build up resilience, because I think the times are different. Now there's a lot more people that are quote unquote woke, aware of the kind of dissonance between us and our white counterparts. So they have to be ready to come against certain things that they can observably see are issues with their race. And I would say for them to kind of cultivate through information, through content, through books, through all these things, build up just this willingness to actually achieve. I genuinely wish that I worked to build that up, because when I came out of uni and I had my experience of work, I was like, this is life. I need to start getting to the top of this thing. So I would say just build up that willingness to actually excel, and don't feel like you have to put yourself down or compromise in any way.
Work hard, play hard. And be memorable. I think it's so easy to try and hide or not be seen, especially if you're not understanding a certain topic. But wherever you go, try and be memorable. Speak to the lecturers, make friends. Yeah, have a good time.
Yeah, I would say research before you go and study. Figure out what it is you want to do. Also understand there's lots of information out there. Kind of go out, gather that information, because university is good and education is good, but also understand it's a business as well. And they are peddling a lot of degrees that are not that useful. So I'll take the time to research and be sure. And it doesn't mean you be sure for the rest of your life, but just be sure that that's what you want to do in that particular moment of time. And then, yeah, be human, develop, network, and gain as much experience as possible.
Yeah, I would say just make the most out of it. Like, I think the biggest, even if university might not be like directly related to your career and it might not be relevant, I still always encourage people to go uni for the general world and life experience that you get. You're kind of like mini adults, your friends all live near you. Like, it's such a great experience overall, even parking the educational aspect to it. But of course, like, get your money's worth, but just make the most of it. Like we said, there's so many opportunities there. Explore, learn soft skills, learn how to do hair, make a side hustle. Like, there's just, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many opportunities to explore who you truly are. So I would say, you know, make the most of it and build those connections.
Great stuff. And for me, I would finish off by saying, you know, just get outside of your comfort zone. Going for uni was a scary experience for me. I think a lot of people who know me as someone that's like confident and outgoing and whatever else. But sort of coming from
the roads,
coming from London and, you know, going out, being outside of London, you know, being in that sort of community was like a difficult experience for me. But I was very intentional in terms of coming out of my comfort zone, making new friends, taking that first step. And, you know, that's my advice. So, guys, thank you again, for coming on.
My pleasure.
We'll do it again with you.
Yeah, no, definitely. Let's do it again. So that was the Too Cool for School podcast. If you enjoy this type of content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on all our social media platforms.
Peace out.